Well, I put this door back here this morning to sort of get your attention, hoping I can keep your attention for just a few minutes here this morning as I bring you the Word of God today. And, you know, the Bible mentions doors in many places with a very significant emphasis on doors. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 7, after Noah went into the ark, God shut the door. And various other places in Exodus chapter 12, the great Passover study, we see that blood was applied to the doorpost there that the death angel might pass over those that it was applied to. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." And boy, that's a significant door in a person's life, isn't it? Now, in Matthew 25, you'll see a door there where there was 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the 5 wise had oil in their lamps, and the 5 foolish had no oil in their lamps. And at midnight, there was a cry, went out, and go out to meet the bridegroom. And those that were wise, that had oil in their lamps, they went into the marriage, and those that were foolish found out that the door was shut, and they couldn't get in. So that's a very significant door we see in God's Word today, and a great warning to those that are lost that you better be ready to meet the bridegroom when he cries out that he's coming. Now over in Revelation, you'll see a door there in Revelation 3:20. At the end of the church age, the Laodicean church age, Jesus said these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in unto him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me." And the very last time in your Bibles, there's a door mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 in verse number 1. And John's writing says this, "And after these things," after what things? If you look in Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 3, you'll see 7 distinct church ages that take place. And let me remind you this morning that we're in the last of the church ages before Christ comes back. John said this, "After this," the church age has ended. He said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither." Hey, listen to me today, folks. We're in the Laodicean church age, friend. I believe Jesus is at the door this morning, friend. He's soon to grab hold of the knob, open that door, and cry out for His children to leave this old world, to come up out of the graves, to meet Him in the air, friend. And we're heading to heaven one of these glorious mornings. I thank God that I entered in the door of Christ one day. Hey, I'm glad He come to me and He give me a chance at life. Hey, I'm glad I called upon Him. I'm glad He took me in. I'm glad I'm saved this morning, ain't you? Well, listen to me. Listen to me, friend. This Laodicean church age is a church age of lukewarmness. Well, let me ask you this morning, friend. Why ain't we hot today for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why can't we see the things that's going on in the world and realize that Jesus is soon to appear, friend? Oh, let me tell you something. It's easy to get caught up in the cares and the things of this world, friend, and get caught up by the things of the devil, friend, and forget about the things of God. But this morning, friend, as we look at this door, I want us to look back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 24, and look what Jesus has to say to us right here. Oh, Matthew chapter number 24. If you want to stand with me this morning, honor the reading of the Word of God. Found in Matthew chapter number 24. We'll read verse 1 says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Look at this, what the disciples said. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Boy, that's something we ought to be asking today, isn't it? Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. This world is coming to an end. Jesus said heaven and earth is going to pass away. Peter said it's going to burn up one of these days. Listen to me. But they wanted to know, what's the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Time out right there. We've got it made in America this morning. Did you know over in the Middle East over there, where Jesus walked the streets and where He ministered over there, there's Christians over there this morning that's having their heads cut off. Hey, there's mamas and daddies, friend, that wouldn't deny the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Muslims over there have taken their children and said, You deny them, or we're going to cut the heads off of your children here. Hey, they've had to watch their children's head be cut off, friend, because they wouldn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior. We've got it made in America this morning. Oh, listen to things that Christ said would happen. They'll deliver you up, shall kill you. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Let me tell you something. When I was a young man, Christianity was something that was looked up to. It was reverenced in a way, friend. But let me tell you, friend, this thing of persecution is on the rise against Christianity. Not only in our country, but throughout the whole world, friend. Oh, listen to what Jesus had to say it would be like before He came back. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end of time shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now let's skip over to verse 32 and pick up a couple more verses right here. He said, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You can be seated this morning. I say this morning it's high time for the church to wake up. It's high time this morning that we realize how close the Lord's appearing could be this morning. And what I want to preach on this morning out of verse 33, it says, When you see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Can't you see that it's at the door? Can't you see this morning that it's at the door? Hey, if you'll just read your Bible, if you'll study your Bible, if you'll watch the news, if you look at world events that's taking place, friend, hey, Jesus is soon to appear, friend. And He said, when you see these things taking place, know that it's near, even at the door. Oh, we ought to know this morning that Jesus is soon to appear. Oh, as a child of God this morning, we ought to know that He's coming just like He said He was in the Word of God. Hey, let me tell you, there's a great theme in the Bible, friend. If you look back through the Old Testament, Hey, Jesus was promised that He would come as the Lord and Savior, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But let me tell you, all throughout the Old Testament it was prophesied that He would come. And it was also prophesied that He would come the second time, friend. Hey, the Bible, friend, shows us 8 times to one time that He's coming again than that He'd come the first time, friend. We better beware of what God says in His Word, and we better be ready. We better be watching for His appearing. Listen to me this morning. Can you see that it's at the door? Can you see it this morning? Would you give your attention just for a little bit this morning to the Word of God and what the Word of God says to you and I in this Laodicean church age today? Would you put aside your lukewarmness this morning and turn your fervency this morning toward God and ask Him to revive you in your spirit, in your heart, and in your life, friend? We better wake up this morning. Hey, the day is drawing near that the Lord shall appear, friend. First of all, I want you to see a few things that Jesus spoke of, and certainly we can't cover anywhere near all the signs that Christ gave His disciples in the Word of God that things would be like when He came back again. But first of all, I want you to know, I see a day of distress. Amen. A day of distress. Notice what He said in verse 7. He said, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Can I tell you, friend, we're living in a day of distress today. We're living in a day, friend, of concerns, of anxiety, of perplexity, friend. We're living in a day of sorrows that Jesus said would come before He is appearing again, friend. Oh, listen to me. Has anybody in here looked at the news lately? Hey, you know, I really believe it ain't healthy to watch a whole lot of Fox News. Amen. Boy, you want to get distressed and you want to get perplexed, watch it for a little while and look at the things that's going on in the world. Look at the things that's going on in our country, friend. It's depressing, friend, unless you've got your affection set on things above, unless you read your Bible and realize that these things must come to pass, that the Lord is soon to come. So I say this morning, child of God, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is a drawing nigh, friend. Hey, ain't no need to be depressed this morning about what's going on, friend. But you better be looking at the door, friend, because Jesus is soon to turn that knob and call out for His children to come home. Oh, listen to me this morning. A day of distress. Notice the provoking in verse number 7. Nation shall rise against nation. Have you ever seen a time in your life when there was so much war and so much talk of war, and we ain't got enough armies in the United States to fight all the wars we need to be a fighting right now? We're $20 trillion in debt this morning, and a lot of it's gone towards bombs and weapons to fight the wars that we've been drawn into around the world. And I ain't against the fight. I think we ought to be fighting some more this morning. Hey, we got something we ought to be standing for in America today, and we need some folks with some guts. Hey, they'll say we ain't going to take it no more. We trying to fight wars nowadays without killing anybody. Yeah, man. We're afraid we're going to make somebody mad. You know what they did in World War II? They flew over Germany, they opened the bomb chutes and let it hit where it would and let God sort out the rest. Provoking. In the last days, he said, wars and rumors of wars. I got to looking up some things about wars of today. Since 1860, over 160 million people have died in wars and in conflicts, genocide, the various things around the world. 160 million people. Not only a provoking of wars in the last day, but plagues in the last days. Anybody in here heard of Ebola lately? Been all over the news, hadn't it? Got folks kind of shook up. Hey, and good reason to be. Hey, I'm telling you, We hadn't got but just a few beds in America to handle Ebola patients. A few places that you can put somebody. If it was a widespread outbreak in the United States, we'd be in a big mess. Thousands are dying over in Africa, in that area of the world, from Ebola. And we're afraid that it might be an outbreak here in the United States. Well, we're afraid. I don't know about our leadership. The plagues, Ebola, AIDS, flesh-eating bacteria, staph infections killing something like 120,000 people a year in hospitals. And the bacteria, the staph is becoming more and more resistant to antibiotics. The plagues in the last days, disasters, disease, distress, famines. Did you know that there's almost 1 billion people in the world this morning that's hungry? That doesn't have the right food to eat? There's children starving to death in foreign countries. And listen, friend, these things are the plagues and the perils of the last days. We've got earthquakes, sea waves roaring. You remember the 2004 tsunami that killed 280,000 people? One of the greatest earthquakes that ever hit the world. I think it was the third largest quake that ever shook the earth. And I was reading about that, and it said the whole earth vibrated when that earthquake took place. Jesus said there would be earthquakes in divers places. I remember just a few years ago, in the middle of the night, an earthquake woke us up right here in Bowdoin, Georgia. And things went to shake. First time I've ever heard of and experienced in my lifetime. The earthquakes, the sea waves are roaring. Listen to me. Can we not see that it's even at the door this morning? Can't we see by looking through the eyes of God's Word and through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that it's near, even at the door? Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me? Well, listen to me. The provoking in the day of distress, the plagues in the day of distress, the perils in the day of distress, terrorism, diseases, violence, Christian persecution. Paul said in the last days, this know that perilous days would come. Perilous times. They're upon us this morning. Well, this don't really excite a Christian a whole lot, does it? This is the Word of God. And I think it'd do us good to heed the warning that Christ gives us today. Amen. Not only a day of distress, but a day of deception. Verse 11, he said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Can I tell you this morning, we've got false prophets all the way from the White House to the church house this morning. Amen. I can't believe after what happened on 9/11 way back yonder that the United States would go and elect a Muslim president. Amen. A way of sanctioning that kind of junk and that kind of belief in this country. Look in Isaiah chapter 5 with me just a minute, if you would. I'm talking about deception in the White House. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah. He said in verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. In other words, woe unto them that promote sin. Verse 20, he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Listen. Listen. This thing of gay marriage, they're calling it good out of Washington. We call it evil out of the pulpit. Because we've got a Bible that tells us what God says about it. But there'll come a day, friend, when they'll come in here and try to stop this. Amen. Hate crimes. Hate crimes is what they'll call it. That put darkness for light and light for darkness that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. How'd they get that away? How'd they get wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight? Because they ain't looking into the Word of God to where true wisdom is, friend. Where the true fear of God is, man has put it aside. And God said, woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because, listen now, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's pretty plain, ain't it? Amen. That's where we're at the White House today. We've got folks that's running this country that despises this book right here. We've got folks sitting in the Supreme Court that despises this book. We've got spiritual wickedness in high places that despise this Word of God this morning. But let me tell you what Jesus said. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. This Word is going to stand. When all them folks is cast into hell, this book right here is still going to be a standing truth. Well, we've got deception at the White House. We've got deception in church houses. Let me tell you something this morning. Just because a building's got a steeple on it, don't make it a church. Amen. That's why we like the King James Bible this morning. It's been tried, it's true, it's proven, and it'll stand today. And I'm glad to be a preaching out of one this morning. Amen. Listen to me today, friend. Hey, the Bible says that you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. There's people today, friend, that are preaching works, preaching water baptism, do-goodism, and every other way to get to heaven. But let me tell you, there's one way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. Hey, let me tell you this morning, you'll not get to heaven but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A day of distress, I can see that. A day of deception, I can see that. A day of depravity, can you see that this morning? You better watch yourself. The Bible says, let him that thinks he standeth take heed. Take heed. You better watch the devil. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to get you this morning. He knows the things of the world that will lure you away. It don't matter if you're a preacher. It don't matter if you're a teacher. It don't matter if you study your Bible every day, friend. You got weaknesses. You better watch yourself. You better watch your flesh. It's a day of depravity. Look what Jesus said in verse 12. He said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." You want to know what's wrong in the church houses today? You know what? Yeah, let me tell you. You know why you can't be faithful this morning? Hey, iniquity's abounding. You know why you can't be in love with Jesus anymore? Because you're in love with the world. Amen. Day of depravity. I say it's a day of anarchy. We're living in a day of anarchy. A day when there's a reign of lawlessness in society. Man has lost his fear of God. Hey, man, there's no regard to God's law anymore. When I was a lost man, I feared God. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a heartbeat out of hell. I believed God. I believed the Bible was true, friend. And there was a fear that was in me of dying and going to hell. But I'm afraid that we're living in a day today where there's no fear anymore. Back in the book of Judges, the book of Judges ended with this verse. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, everything goes. Just live it up. Do as you please and everything. Just eat, drink, and be merry. Day of depravity. Jesus said iniquity is going to abound. Hey, you don't have to look very far back in the past to see that iniquity is on the increase. Amen? When I was a child, I run up and down the roads. My mom and daddy had nothing to worry about. They wasn't no child molesters. Never heard of it. I could run to town. I could go to the store. I could do anything, practically anything I wanted to. Nothing to worry about. I even get out on the road, stick out my thumb, catch me a ride going down the road. Never had nobody to try to molest me. But now you can't even go to Walmart without hanging on to your kids and watching out for some pervert somewhere coming along. Let me tell you, friend, we live in a day of anarchy. We live in a day of apostasy. The loathing of the truth, the turning away from the truths of God. That's where we're at in the world today. People don't like to hear this Bible right here, friend, because it condemns sin. Right? That's why people can't take preaching anymore. A preacher stand up and preach the truth, friend. He's going to get on your toes sometime. He's going to preach against your sin sometime. But we're living in the days of apostasy, friend. When the Lord told, or Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For there's a time coming. We're there too today. There's a time coming when men will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll be turned from the truth to fables. That's why you got some of your big mega churches going on today like Mr. Osteen. He never preaches out of the Word of God. He preaches a feel-good religion, a do-good religion. And let me tell you something, friend. Hey, we need the truth preached today in these last days. We don't need our ears tickled. We need to look into the Word of God and see ourselves as God sees us. But we're living in a day of anarchy, apostasy. We're living in a day of appetite. Appetite. What are you hungry for today? There's a lot of folks that's hungry for sin. This flesh is depraved. This flesh is wicked. You hear me? Your flesh is wicked. God knows it, and we ought to know it ourselves. We're living in a day of adultery, fornication, homosexuality, perversion, lust, rape, greed, pornography, moral decline. Man ain't getting better. He's getting worse. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Did you realize there's billions of dollars spent each year on pornography? Billions. Do you realize that every second there's over $3,000 spent on pornography? Every second of the day. Did you realize I was reading that children between the age of 8 and 16, 90% of them said at some time or another on their computer they'd seen something pornographic. Think the devil's not at work today? We better wake up. We better wake up and realize that we're living in a day of depravity, that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to come through the door. Of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. The day of depravity, but then there's a day of discernment that I see. In Matthew chapter 16, back up right there with me just a minute. I'll not be too much longer this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him desired
that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered, said to them, when it's evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky's red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. He's given us everything that we need to see and know to be able to discern that the Lord is soon to come. Listen to me. We're not in darkness. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we can know that it's near this morning. We can know the time and the hour is drawing close that Jesus will appear. When you see all these things, know that it's near, even at the door, he says. A day of discernment. The parable of the fig tree is undoubtedly the rebirth of the nation of Israel. For 2,500 years, they were dispersed through the earth. If you had a map that preceded 1948, friend, you could have looked at a world map and there was no Israel on it. There was no Israel there. But God had promised in His Word way back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago that in the last days, friend, that fig tree would bud. And the symbol of Israel this morning is that of a fig leaf, friend. And it budded in 1948 in the month of May. I think it was the 14th day. Israel became a nation again. One of the greatest fulfillments of prophecy that we have today is that Israel became a nation again. God brought His people back to their country, friend. He said it would happen before He came again, and it would be even at the door. Not only in this day of discernment we see the rebirth of a nation, but we all see the revelation of Noah's day. He said then a little further, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached for 120 years. I would imagine when Noah first started preaching, when he received grace in the eyes of the Lord and instructions for the ark, I would imagine when he started building that ark, he probably had great crowds together around. I imagine there was times probably when he laid his hammer down and he began to preach the Word of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he stood before them people and said, you better get right with God. God's going to send a flood. He's going to destroy this earth and you better get right before it comes. But I imagine before the 120 years was up, the crowds began to dwindle. Because the day that Noah entered into the ark, all that came in was that of his family. I can imagine Noah standing there at the door. Probably had tears in his eyes. All the messages that he'd ever preached fell on deaf ears. Now the day had come. The clouds had begun to gather in. The waters of the oceans, they left their bounds. And the fountains of the earth began to spring up, friend. And it was time for judgment to begin. Where were all the people? They had a visible ark. They had a preacher of righteousness. But they refused to enter in. Not only this morning do I see a day of distress, a day of deception, a day of depravity, a day of discernment, but I also see it's a day of decision. Are you listening to me? A day of decision. He said it's near, even at the doors. In verse 44, he said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. Did you hear what he said? For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We're living in a day of decision. Can I tell you, this door over in Revelation chapter 4, on the other side of that door, God is going to open it one of these days, and He's going to cry out to His children with the voice of a trumpet, come up hither. And we're getting out of this world. But on this side of the door this morning, friend, there's mercy and there's grace because Jesus died for the sins of the world. And He's calling this morning, come, whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely, friend. But what's on the other side of the door? The churches are getting out of here. And the churches are getting out of here. And when He opens that door, friend, the judgment and the wrath and the fierceness of Almighty God's going to fall upon this world. Let me tell you something this morning. Those of you that's heard the gospel call, don't think you'll get another chance when that door is open. You've got your chance and your opportunity this morning. Jesus is willing to save whosoever will that will come. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance this morning. He's long-suffering today. Hey, He's reaching out in the last days. Jesus knows that it's near, and we ought to know that it's near this morning. Wonder today, is He knocking at your heart this morning? Do you have any fear of God? Do you have any fear of where you're going to spend eternity today? We better wake up. Lost person, you better wake up this morning. Jesus is soon to appear. Listen to me. The very last thing, when Jesus rose up into the heavens, there was two men in white apparel stood by, said, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus you've seen taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. He's coming, just like He said. And the Bible says, He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. Stand with me. Sister Cher, would you come to the piano? Brother David, you get us a song this morning.